Welcome back, everybody. Episode 30 of Surrenderify Podcast. We have finally come out of hiatus. It's been a little bit, but we're excited to get back into it. And tonight with us, to bring us out of hiatus and this excitement, we have the one and only Glide. Welcome, Glide. Appreciate you. I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I think this is the first time doing anything like this.
Oh, really? First time?
Yeah, it's the first time doing a podcast with someone.
It's exciting stuff. Love to hear that, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for being on the show. I first came across you a few months back when you were in Kestastic's Pokemon Unite World University series. That was pretty fun. I like that.
Yeah, I love Kes. He's great.
Yeah, Kes is cool. Yeah, so thank you for being part of Surrenderify Podcast. We are back now. Episode 30, hiatus is over.
That's right, the big 3-0.
The big 3-0. It's a big number, big time. Good things happen in your 30s. I just got here, you know, so I know a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I just turned 30 this year too, so.
Oh, let's go. Okay.
Hey.
All right. So you know all about that. Good stuff, good stuff. Mm-hmm. What did you do for your birthday?
What did I do for my birthday? What did I do? I went out with friends. We did a little something. It was fun.
Hey man, sounds like a good time.
Yeah,
my birthday? It was good. Yeah, it was a good time, you know what I'm saying? You always want to do something that puts you in the best mood.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Also, shout out to Pokemon Attica. Attica will be coming back to the show soon. I'm excited for that. We're just coming out of hiatus, you know what I'm saying? So getting everything in order, getting things repolished, and then we're going to hit the ground running. So shout out to Attica. All right. Special guest, Glide. I never said this out loud, your last name. Is it Borealis?
Yeah, that's right. It's supposed to be named after like the Aurora Borealis.
Borealis. Got yes. It right. All right.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
I was looking at it and I was like, wait a second. For anybody watching right now on YouTube or live on Twitch, I got your YouTube and your Twitter up. So I was looking at it and I was like, all right, let's take a stab at it. Let's go. It's got to jump in feet first, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So on your Twitter, it says the National Geographic of video game. Explain to me like I have no idea. What does that mean?
Okay, so it's how I started more or less was that. So in terms of like content creation, I started off with Monster Hunter. And specifically, I wanted to make nature documentaries in Monster Hunter World specifically. I did so using a very like David Attenborough style, you know, like our planet Earth, that sort of narrative style. And I did that for a bit. And afterwards, I also did a little bit of Elden Ring as well. I made a nature documentary in Elden Ring. So it went from sort of like Monster Hunter specific, and then I kind of broadened my horizons to other games as well. So I kind of gave myself that title, saying like National Geographics of video games as opposed to just Monster Hunter. And now I'm doing Unite content, which is not at all exactly the same, but it's something recent. So,
man, a man of many talents. That's crazy. I didn't know you did all that. That's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Loving that.
Yeah, it's definitely quite the shift going from Monster Hunter to Elden Ring to Pokemon Unite. Although, granted, I guess the sort of content that I'm putting out it's sort of similar. It's sort of like in the informative space, you know?
Yes. Hey, we love information over here at Surrender 5. Oh, most definitely.
Yes.
So. Yeah, so since you've shifted from game to game, I want to know, how did you get into Pokemon? When did you first come across the Pokemon universe?
Oh, goodness.
Back in your day.
Yeah, it must have been when I was like elementary school, probably. So many years back. I think my first Pokemon game had to have been Blue. I'm pretty sure it was Blue.
Okay. Gen 1.
Yeah, Gen 1. And although, to be honest, in terms of the mainline series, I sort of lost interest after the third generation, but I've always been a big fan of sort of the spin-off games. So, like, Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Coliseum, Pokemon okay. Snap, Pinball, Puzzle League, all that great stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I heard that it was becoming a MOBA, I was like, oh, snap, that's great. Because I think at the time, I had stopped playing League of Legends for a couple of years. And then finding out that Pokemon was coming out with a MOBA was like, oh, this could be interesting. So I went right to it.
So when you put down League, was there any, like, did you have any, like nervous breakdowns? Were you itching? Was there, like, a fever? I heard people try to quit League, and they freak out, and they can't do it.
No.
Maybe it's a lie.
No, I didn't have anything like that. It was, let's see, why did I stop playing? It was a lot of, I think it came because it's sort of a lot of, like, frustration. It's a very long game. And sometimes things don't exactly go the way you want it to.
Interesting.
And so it's that time investment plus payout that didn't really stick with me. And then when I heard that Unite was like, oh, it's like 10 minute, like you're forced into 10 minute blocks. It's like,
bro, 10 minutes.
Yeah. It was a lot more manageable. It's something that you can, you know, like pick up and play, mm-hmm. and not commit, you know, 30 to an hour to, and something, you know, just in 10 minute segments. So it was much easier to get into.
Seriously, I think it's way easier to get into. There's no towers, there's no store at the base. You just gotta rotate, be at team fights, try your best, know your opponent's cooldowns, all that good stuff, you know?
All that good stuff. Yep.
So nice. You got in around Pokemon Blue. Love to hear that. Mm-hmm. Do you remember who was your starter? Who did you pick?
I think I hopped around. You mean for Unite, right?
No, for Pokemon Blue.
Oh, for Blue. Okay, who did I pick? Oh my gosh, it was such a long time ago. I want to say I picked Bulbasaur.
Nice, Team Bulbasaur. Okay.
Yeah.
I did too, and it was really ugly. And then I remember Charizard got popular, so I kind of shadow restarted my file, and I picked Charmander.
Oh no. It does make things easier, because the first gym battle is Brock, and, you know, Bulbasaur has an inherent advantage over that.
Right? And then Misty, and then Lieutenant Surge's electric grass has kind of walked through it. By then, already had Pidgeotto going to Pidgeot, Erica. But man, starting with Charmander, holy, oh my goodness, man. Gotta fight Brock in the Rock Gym, Misty with the water. That Starmie, oh man, nightmares. So many nights, so many weekends in middle school.
Oh my goodness.
I went through with just being stuck at that one gym.
A lot of grinding.
Bro, oh my goodness, not enough. Good times. Yeah, so then we fast forward to, like you said, Pokemon becoming a MOBA. So who's your first pick in Pokemon Unite?
So when I first started playing, I did hop around a little bit just to, you know, see how the different Pokemon play and all that. But for ranked, I settled on Mr. Mime. And this was before that nightmarish buff a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the idea of being able to put, like, terrain. That I think that's one of the most, like, underrated abilities in the game. Like, abilities that create terrain is such a big disruption, or it can be.
You're right about that, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like that crustal wall?
Exactly. Like, crustal wall, Mr. Mime's barrier, Snorlax's block, all that good stuff. And then right around when Decidueye came out, it was like, that's my new main. And I have since one-tricked him to Masters every... actually, no. I want to say every season, but I feel like there was one season where I didn't actually make it up there because I was busy making my videos. But yes, ever since then, I've been one-tricking Decidueye and no one else on ranked, except in the case where he gets taken from me.
Never did I know until this moment that you were a dirty, dirty Decidueye player. No, I'm just kidding, I say that jokingly. Mm-hmm. But whenever I play, people who watch me on stream know, I never get good Decidueye in my lobbies. I don't understand. They never hold the B button. They never push the A button. There's like easy kills right there to be had, and they just pass them up. Sorry, I'm getting choked up saying this because I get passionate. I'm just kidding. But like, they're sitting here charging this arrow, doing these 360 spins. I'm like, bro, you are not the Green Arrow. You will never be Oliver Queen. Just please hold down the basic button and kill them. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so it's good to talk to the good Decidueyes. Go ahead.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm the Decidueye on the other team, on the enemy team.
Yeah, the one with the perfect snipes, hitting from the distance, with the using the ult from the grass in the right spot. Oh my goodness. Man, yeah, I get the melee Decidueye. They're trying to box. Like, man, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
It's crazy. They forget what role they play. It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a combination of, like, Decidueye being a very sort of, like, cool character. And the fact that he requires a lot of sort of, like positional awareness that not to rag on the player base.
Agreed.
Yeah, it requires a lot of like positional awareness and sort of like spacing and all that sort of stuff. And it's definitely a skill that takes some time to learn.
Most definitely. It really does. I can tell. Oh my God. Too many Decidueyes who think they're Machamps. Like, no, man, don't use your ult this close. Like, you should not be anywhere over here.
Oh yeah, the panic ulting Decidueyes are always a sad sight to see.
It's so sad. It's like, yo, you're an archer. That's not a shotgun. Go back over there.
It's not a shotgun.
It's crazy, man. I really thought about taking time to like make a montage of the Decidueye encounters I've had in my stream. It would be so
worth
it. I think when winter hits and it's cold and it's like 12 feet of snow, there's nowhere to go. I think that's my project. Just collect my Decidueye clips. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. Be a fun little project. But yeah, that's cool to hear. Good to know there's actually, you know, stand up good Decidueyes out there, man. Love to hear that.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, you mentioned your videos. So when did you start making your Pokemon Unite character spotlight series? When did that begin?
Let's see. That was, I want to say it was about a year ago. I think my the very first one I did, which was Pikachu.
Yes.
Because
for those watching, we have it on screen right now.
Yeah, so the Pikachu one was the very first one I did. And that I made, I want to say like 9 months ago-ish. So the process of sort of starting creating it probably was about a year ago. In the beginning, it was all very difficult because I had to, you know, make the assets and like graphics and all that.
Right.
Nowadays, it takes a little. It doesn't take as much time because I already have all those assets ready. I could just reuse them.
Okay. I see. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But in the beginning, I had to, you know, make all these assets. You know, run them through Photoshop, make them look pretty. Get the transition timings right and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I have a template that I can just kind of pop up and then just replace a couple of the assets, and it's so much easier. My goodness. But yeah, that very first video took a very long time to do. About a year.
Excellent. You know, to sidebar real quick, your explanation makes me think of a scenario at work where I was assembling some items together, and the order had like 38 of them. So putting the first one together, mind you, the box came from Amazon. Shout out to Amazon. We love Twitch. Sign me. It didn't have instructions, so it was instructionless assembly.
Oh my gosh.
So I literally had to Google and like look up pictures to see what this thing looks like because there was no imagery on the box whatsoever. Just a blank, generic brown box from Amazon, instructionless assembly.
Oh my goodness.
I see the picture, put it together, and once I figured out the first one, then I was able to replicate and make the rest of them much faster going along. The way you described your process of making videos, I was like, hey, it sounds like a real life kind of scenario I was just in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's cool to hear your mindset and your thought process on this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you said you started the Pokemon videos a year ago. When did you start doing videos in general?
I did mention earlier I started, my roots are in like Monster Hunter.
Right.
My very first video I think came out like, I want to say like 4 years ago now.
Okay.
So it was some time ago. And since then, like I mentioned, a lot of it's stayed with Monster Hunter. And after that, I did maybe one or two videos on Elden Ring. And then after that, I also did Monster Hunter Rise as well for a little bit. And then when Pokemon Unite came out, I saw their spotlight videos. And was expecting so much more because again,
say it again. Hold up. Say that again. I get the air horn. Go ahead.
I was expecting so much more from the spotlights that the Pokemon Unite channel put out. Because remember, I come from League of Legends background, and their spotlight videos are very informative and tell you exactly what the characters. Exactly, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And here we have 30-second videos where a good third, if not half, the video is just the scoring animation.
Cannot believe it.
And I was like, this simply will not do.
Can't believe it. What a lazy cop out. Just the scoring animation.
Oh my gosh. Oh, absolutely. I mean, come on, like show the moves a little bit more. Now, to their credit, they have been putting out more detailed videos. But it's like a wall of text and you got to pause the video to like read it all and see what's going on. And it's better. It's a step in the right direction. I still like my stuff better.
Oh, most definitely. Dude, the first time I seen yours, I was like, oh, who is this dude? I was like, yo, did Kestastic link up with a developer or someone on the team? Dude, looking at their stuff, I had the same thought. I was like, I kind of want to take the video that they put out and then just do a voiceover because I don't understand how they're putting out character spotlight videos and no one's saying a damn thing. It's just dead quiet. The little lame and the scoring animations. And the dunks aren't even that cool. I haven't seen a cooler dunker in this game since then Machamp. Machamp's my favorite dunker. Lucario's kind of second, that 360 tomahawk with the slam like a brunt. But listen, Machamp is the coolest dunker. I haven't seen a cooler one yet.
I like Inteleon's. His is pretty cool. Kind of floats it up there, shoots it down.
Actually, that's pretty cold. Actually, yeah, that one's pretty cool. You're right. Okay. But damn it, their character spotlights need to have some kind of voiceover. I think didn't they have Spraggles do something one time for them? Why isn't he voicing them over? Or somebody? Just saying. As a fan of the game, you came from League of Legends, you've seen more in-depth character spotlight videos, and it's just kind of lacking over here. Like, we understand the game is already bare bones compared to other MOBAs. I didn't expect the content to match that as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, it was just there was absolutely a niche that needed to be filled. There was, and I could probably guess that there was a desire for this kind of thing. So I was like, okay, I've got some experience making some videos. You know, I could probably pull something off. And there you go, I did.
Most definitely did, man. Those videos are awesome. Hell, your most latest one, the Azumarill one, got 9.7K on YouTube. That's pretty amazing, dude.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's only been 4 days.
In 4 days, yes. So this is by far my sort of like most successful video. And I'm not talking just in my Pokemon Unite videos either. I'm talking of all, in my 4 year of doing YouTube. This is by far the quickest, this is by far the video that like gained the most attention, the most views, the fastest. Like getting
this is beautiful, dude.
Yeah, no, getting 10K in the span of like 4 days, unheard of.
Yeah, no, that's dude, I think you got something there. I think that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So like, so getting this level of traction and attention, before we talk further about what's gonna happen with these videos, do you mind if we play this real quick?
Oh, sure. By all means.
I say real quick, but it's 14 minutes, but it's like good knowledge because I've watched your other ones. So mm-hmm. I just know people who do play a Zoom role will find this useful. And those of us who kind of played here and there will definitely be interested. Because watching the Pikachu one for me, if I can riff a little bit, mm-hmm. There were some things in there that I didn't realize Pikachu could do, how to do them, and how effective it could be. Like before I came across you and your content, when I was playing Pikachu, I was using the ult wrong. I was always dying and messing up. But then once I watched your videos, I cleaned it up and I got much better.
Hell yeah. That's the aim. That's what I want to do. Educate the player base.
Exactly. Yep. No matter what experience level you're at.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to switch over here.
Sure.
I would love to get this video played. Let's see. All right, so for anybody listening on download, if you want to check us out on YouTube, we're going to play Glide Borealis' Azumarill character spotlight video. I'm going to get it set up here on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Some blue bunny action. Shout out to Kelosaurus. I know Kelosaurus is a big fan of Azumarill. Oh, yeah.
Pika Blue, I've heard.
Pika Blue. Yes, sir. All right, let's get this on the big screen here and see how this works. Yeah, once again, shout out to everybody checking us out for our come out of hiatus episode. I'm really excited for this. Thank you, Glad, for coming on the show. Mm-hmm. And this beautiful Azumarill tutorial video. Let's get into it.
He's hippity, he's hoppity, and he's coming for your Eos Point property. He's drifted away from the rivers of the Johto region and is now here on Eos Island to play rough and blow bubbles. And he's all out of bubbles. Welcome to the Pokemon Unite Character Spotlight, featuring Azumarill, the Aqua Rapid Pokemon. Azumarill is categorized as a duelist all-rounder who specializes in taking down opponents one-on-one or even two-on-one. Azumarill has a good mix of mobility, damage, and sustain that makes him a solid choice for trainers of all skill levels. However, this Pokemon does its best with trainers who can choose their fights wisely and know how to isolate targets to pick them off one by one. Meryl and Azumarill's passive, Huge Power, takes an all-or-nothing approach to critical strikes and affects the bonus damage dealt by his crits. Whenever this Pokemon hits only a single target, all of his basic attacks and abilities, including Unite Move, are guaranteed to critically strike. However, Meryl and Azumarill are willing to pull their punches to give their opponents a fighting chance. When this Pokemon critically strikes, the bonus damage from the crit is less than the usual percentage boost. Additionally, Meryl and Azumarill will never critically strike whenever he hits more than one target at a time. Basic attacks become boosted every third attack, mm-hmm. gaining increased range and dealing increased damage to enemies in the cone in front of this Pokemon. The first of Meryl's basic abilities is Tackle. Meryl charges forward, going over any obstacles, dealing damage, and briefly stunning enemies that are hit by this move. His second ability is Bubble, which can be used while moving. Meryl sprays bubbles in a cone, dealing damage to enemies hit by them and decreasing their movement speed for a moderate duration. Enemies can be hit multiple times by bubble, but will take a fraction of the damage from subsequent hits after the first. At level 4, the training arc is over and Meryl evolves into Azumarill, gaining a small bit of lifesteal and dropping bubble to learn Whirlpool or Aqua Tail. Whirlpool co-
Yo, Glide.
What's up?
This right here, this visual, you reading each move and its description and in full detail, like, this is what I'm talking about right here, man. Like, I don't understand how the company who makes this game doesn't have a team who's already on top of this, making the best top flight descriptions and character spotlight videos. So right here, like, props to you. This is what I meant right here. This is what pulled me in. Stuff like this.
Thank you.
Really crazy to me. But yeah, let's keep this going. This is beautiful right here.
Okay.
Causes four small whirlpools to appear and swirl counterclockwise around Azumarill for a significant duration. Every time a whirlpool comes in contact with an enemy Pokemon, it deals damage to them and restores a bit of Azumarill's health, restoring significantly more health if it hits an enemy player Pokemon. Azumarill is free to move around when he uses this move, so with some fancy footwork, trainers can increase the number of hits Whirlpool will do by having Azumarill circle clockwise against his opponent. Any opponents in the direct center of the Whirlpool will not take any damage, so be sure to always keep your enemies at an arm's length. Once started, Whirlpool will continue to swirl around Azumarill even if he is hindered in any way. When the ability upgrades at level 10, the move's cooldown is reduced and increases the amount of HP restored. Whirlpool allows Azumarill to stay cool in heated team battles with its sustained damage and healing. Use it against a single target to increase your damage with huge power, or try to get as many people caught in it to shrug off blows and heal through them. Resist the urge to use this ability too early, as you'll lose damage and precious recovery trying to close the gap.
Ooh.
Additionally, keep in mind basic attacking will cause you to stop momentarily, which may let your opponents escape Whirlpool's damage zone. Instead, wait to activate it once enemies are within range, and try to keep close to them for as long as possible to ensure maximum damage and recovery.
Okay.
Don't forget that you can increase how many times Whirlpool will hit by circling clockwise against your opponents. So stay light on your feet and be swift.
Oh, that right there, that's a good tip. Hold on, let's go back. No, that's a good tip right there. People don't realize that. Hold on.
Maximum damage and recovery. Don't forget that you can increase how many times Whirlpool will hit by circling clockwise against your opponents.
That's good.
So stay light on your feet and be swift as the coursing river. If Azumarill learns Aqua Tail instead, he brings his tail to the fistfight, gaining increased range and attack speed. For the next three basic attacks, Azumarill swings his tail in a wide cone for the first two basic attacks, and then slams it down in front of him for his boosted attack. Enemies who are hit by the sweet spot along the far edge of the area of effect take significant damage while Azumarill recovers some health. Enemies who are instead hit in the sour spot closer to Azumarill take much less damage and will not give any recovery. And at level 10, hitting enemies in the sweet spot will also slightly reduce the cooldown of both of your abilities per enemy hit. Single target scenario, your spacing is crucial for a clean knockout with Aqua Tail. Smart opponents will try to lean into the blow to take less damage from your attacks and prevent you from recovering your HP. If you panic and attack your opponents from this distance, the 3-hit combo from Aqua Tail will only do just a bit more damage than basic attacks, and the first two attacks will in fact deal less damage than your non-boosted basic attacks. Instead, keep calm and space yourself before you play yourself. Create some distance and keep them in the sweet spot to hit them where it hurts.
Space
Be sure to utilize
Azumarill
sustain on Aqua Tail whenever you can.
Yes, sir.
Attacking wild Pokemon while roaming can allow you to be in tip-top shape for the next fight, while hitting enemies on the sweet spot during fights can allow you to survive big battles and either win or escape from nasty situations. However, don't over-rely on it, as it may lead you to try and bite off more than you can chew. Once Azumarill reaches level 6, he can choose between Play Rough and Water Pulse to take the place of Tackle. If Azumarill is ready to play Rough, he gains a decent movement speed boost for a moderately long duration or until his next basic attack. Commanding Azumarill to attack during this time will cause him to lunge at one enemy within range and deal damage multiple times in an area and stun those around his target for a brief moment. Activating Play Rough will overwrite any charges of Aqua Tail and vice versa. At level 12, Play Rough gains a cooldown reduction and gives slightly more movement speed than before. For this move, timing and patience will be key. Play Rough allows Azumarill to duck, weave, and keep up with opponents with relative ease, ending the chase with three stunning blows.
Let's go!
The short cooldown along with the long duration of this buff allows Azumarill to have a very high uptime on the movement speed boost that this move has to offer, particularly if this Pokemon is out of combat. This allows for the Aqua Rapid to roam quickly around the map to join team battles and to show up for objectives. Use this move in conjunction with your other abilities to run circles around your opponents, position yourself to maximize your effectiveness, or to make a very strategic and necessary retreat. Because the cooldown of this move begins upon activation instead of upon its use, trainers can wait to attack near the end of the buff's duration to activate Play Rough again a short time after its use. Float like a Butterfree, sting like a Beedrill. If you'd rather strike with the force of a great typhoon, Azumarill can instead learn Water Pulse. Azumarill shoots out a pulsing blast of water, dealing damage in a small area around the first target hit and moderately decreasing the movement speed of those hit for a short time. The projectile will then automatically bounce away a few times to any available nearby targets, including the initial target if it had bounced away, behaving in the same way as the first hit. The bounce's range is larger than the area of effect of each pulse, so it is possible to trigger Huge Power's crit on each bounce.
Oh, snap.
Immediately
okay.
Upon activation, the trainer can input a direction to have Azumarill roll a short distance in the designated direction to reposition as needed. If there's an obstacle in the way, he'll do his best to roll around it. At level 12, the ability upgrades, increasing the maximum number of targets that the blast of water can bounce between. Water Pulse allows you to create distance or close gaps as needed, and gives Azumarill an edge when fighting multiple Pokemon at once. While a single hit of Water Pulse may not do too much on its own, the added damage from the bounces can deal a deceptive amount of damage, especially if enemies
That's
are spaced
crazy.
Just far enough to trigger Huge
okay.
Power.
Now realize
Even
that.
If you are fighting one-on-one, don't forget that Water Pulse will also bounce off of wild Pokemon, so be sure to use that to your advantage when you can. Water Pulse can also be used to poke the enemy team before an engagement from a distance. While the initial projectile is fairly quick and
the
can miss, the follow-up bounces are slower.
Run that back, say it again.
The poke damage that you can get from this ability sometimes is it's kind of insane.
I didn't realize Water Pulse did all that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I really had no idea.
It's such a especially when all these like projectiles and special effects are happening, like it's hard to see what Water Pulse is actually doing.
Yeah.
So I kind of call it like a silent killer, because you don't realize what's happening and suddenly, you know, half your health is gone because that thing was bouncing around your team for the past like 3 seconds.
Seriously, like I'm just picturing that thing bouncing around their team. And then Inteleon using Liquidation or something. Some kind of quick target. Like Glaceon Spears. Like they can't get away. That's crazy.
Yep.
Man, that's some stuff right there. Okay. Look at that. I might need to grind up an Azumarill Green Ribbon.
Oh, he's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, man. I'm an Aqua Tail rookie, but I'll get better. All right, let's do it.
And we'll home in on those that were in range of the target. The slower projectile gives enemies time to inadvertently bring your Water Pulse into their teammates, making them weaker or knocking them out altogether.
What's the difference between selling on a marketplace and selling with
right
Shopify?
On time. YouTube jumped in. They want to get some attention here. All right, back to the video.
At level 8, it's time to beat the drums of war as Azumarill learns Belly Bash.
We love YouTube, shout out to YouTube.
Azumarill logs onto a target, pounds his belly 3 times, and charges at his opponents, damaging and knocking them up for a short time. As he drums, Azumarill is unstoppable and can reposition himself before he rushes head first towards his target. Enemies around Azumarill's mark and those in the way of his charge will also be thrown into the air and take damage. Each time he drums his belly, Azumarill sacrifices a small percentage of his current health, but gains a shield equal to a percentage of his max health, and a sizable boost to his attack for a significant duration. Belly Bash can be used to initiate skirmishes and team battles with an AoE knockup, or it can be used as a way to gain a second wind during a fight. Because of how the health to shield conversion is calculated, the amount of shield gained will always be the same, while the amount of HP sacrifice goes down the closer he is to fainting. In short, the lower your Azumarill's HP when he uses the Unite move, the harder he suddenly is to defeat in battle.
Oh snap.
Azumarill may pack a wallop, but is very susceptible to hindrances. If timed well, this Unite move can be used to ignore some of the crowd control effects your opponents may throw at you so Azumarill can continue his beatdown.
Okay.
Because of Belly Bash's low cooldown, it can be used liberally between skirmishes and major team battles. Knock out some wild Pokemon, or score some goals in between fights to get your Unite move back even quicker.
You're on
Yeah, for those who don't know, man, every time you score, 10% back on your Unite charge. Please don't forget that out there. Thank you.
In the early game, Meryl is basically
knocking out wild Pokemon will give you 5%, I think.
Yeah, you know what? That's another one. Mm-hmm. There you go. There's 15% right there. Oh my goodness. Good call.
Thin lane with a partner where he can quickly gain experience points from knocking out wild Pokemon. Make a show to contest a wild Pokemon that spawn at the center of the lane, or score your goals early to give yourself a leg up in experience points. Unlike some Pokemon that have multiple evolutions, Meryl only needs to evolve once, giving him a decent power spike once he evolves, which happens fairly early on at that. However, keep in mind you don't have any built-in recovery until you evolve, so pick your fights wisely. Once you evolve into Azumarill at level 4, assess your team and opponent's composition to decide which move will be best for the match. Remember that your role in the team as an all-rounder can change based on the abilities you choose and your team's needs. If your team is lacking in damage or if your opponent have Pokemon that need to be swiftly dealt with, Aqua Tail can give Azumarill the burst damage he needs to make him into an ideal duelist. On the other hand, if your team is lacking a frontline or if the opponents have a composition where they are likely to group up, Whirlpool gives him the ability to zone and tank the brunt of the damage with his own body and sustain through the blows by adopting the role of a pseudo-tank. At this stage, Azumarill is stronger than most other Pokemon, and doubly so if they're fighting alone, thanks to his passive huge power.
Yeah.
Look for opportunities to try and duel opponent Pokemon, whether that's by invading their jungle.
Level 4 is probably where he's strongest against other people.
Level 4?
Yep.
Yeah, man. Because
he's got that, he gets the power spike, he gets either Aqua Tail or Whirlpool, and he just runs over other Pokemon, especially if it's like a three-step evolution Pokemon.
Oh yeah, they're struggling to get to level 9, fighting each other. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Azumarill with his sustain and damage can just kind of roll over you if you're not careful.
Right about that. Is, you know what? Yeah, after I get this green ribbon Serena, I might play some Azumarill.
Ooh, oh man, be fun.
Good stuff. This is a good video. All right, let's keep going. Loving this.
Roaming to a different lane. As the game progresses into the mid-game, mind your role as the duelist or pseudo-tank and choose your second ability. Play Rough gives you speed and provides crowd control for your teammates, while Water Pulse gives you the ability to poke and deal damage from range and allows for quick repositioning. Once major objectives are on the table, trainers can assist in taking them down as Whirlpool can shred the health of any lone objective, while the burst from Aqua Tail's boosted attacks can be a great way to secure a low-health objective. Alternatively, Azumarill can lurk in nearby bushes to ambush any unsuspecting opponents who may be trying to attempt a contest or steal. If things start to get dicey, don't forget to use your Unite move to give you the second wind you may need to win an engagement. It'll be up again soon enough. Your role as an all-rounder is to be flexible and adapt to what the team needs at any given time. In one fight, you may need to support your team by acting as their front line, while in another, you may want to isolate and hunt down their attackers and supports. Know your limits. Azumarill isn't the bulkiest of all-rounder and gets by with his sustain from Aqua Tail and Whirlpool, so be cautious when approaching a fight. You don't want to be hindered and knocked out before the round even begins.
The final stretch!
In the late game, continue to look for opportunities to take out lone opponents, but stay close to your team. Position yourself either in the front lines to take the brunt of the damage and attention, or hide in the side lines to try and ambush the back line. Remember, Azumarill does his best when he's only hitting one opponent at a time at just the right distance. So keep those feet happy and show them the true strength of your huge power.
Keep those feet happy.
Time's up!
If you're all out of bubblegum and ready to kick some Aqua Tail, head on over to the Unite Battle Committee on Aeos Island to check out your Unite license for Azumarill, the Aqua Rabbit Pokemon.
There we have it. Amazing, amazing video, my man. Oh, bonus feature. Hold up. Bonus clip.
The final stretch.
Pixar Kabudra, or Charizard.
If you have an hour this week, you can learn 100 songs on the piano.
Yeah, amazing video. Good stuff, my man.
Thank you.
Yeah, so checking that video out definitely inspires the soul to play some Izumaru. That's one cool thing about those videos, man. Even if someone doesn't play the character every day, just watching the visual of it go from level to level and each move being explained, I think is enough to help somebody just get their feet wet and check it out. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's actually something I hear a lot. After someone watches the video, it's like they go, "Man, I really want to play Izumaru right now." And hey, you know, that's also kind of the aim, you know, get you hyped to play the game. That's what a champion spotlight, excuse me. That's what a character spotlight should be. It should make you hyped to play that character.
Yeah, you're right. It does make me hyped because I'm just like thinking about it now. I was like, I was going to do something completely different, but I was like, I might mix in some Izumaru in there. I want to see that water pulse bounce around because I'm in a lot of situations where they're all bunched up. So I think I could use that.
Exactly. Yep,
and then that little tip about using the wild Pokemon as a target to bounce off water pulse.
Yep.
It's kind of cool. I like that. I like that kind of stuff.
And a lot of this is sort of learning as I go as well, right? So the sort of process behind all this is that I'll do a write-up of the script based on their abilities and stuff. And I'll sort of do like a preliminary sort of description about tips and tricks and stuff like that. And all of the clips, or rather the in-game clips that you see, is me. That's all me playing. So, So as I play, my understanding of the character or of the Pokemon gets better and better, and I actually end up revising parts of the script to better match my understanding with how to play the Pokemon, what move sets to go, so on and so forth.
Okay.
Yeah. So as an example, the whole thing about using wild Pokemon as a target to bounce your water pulse off of, that I hadn't even initially thought of that, and it was after playing a couple games. It's like, oh, this is something I should keep in mind. So in case, you know, someone comes at me and I have water pulse, it's better to bounce it off of someone rather than just do a single hit, right? So it's stuff like that that it comes up as I'm playing the game, as I'm playing this character, as I'm learning how to play this character better. There's this iterative process between here's a sort of like theoretical thing, and then as I play to get clips, it's like, okay, wait, you know, there's this to take care of, there's this to like think about, there's this thing to keep in mind, and I go back, edit it, you know, grab the clips again, and it goes back and forth. So I think in total, I played about 40 games in standards, grabbing all these clips.
Oh wow, 40 games?
Yeah, about 40 games, I think. And
dang. Okay.
52, so not bad.
Oh man.
Yeah, in previous videos, even with the Mamoswine one, for instance, I believe I played over like 50, 60 games, and same for Sableye and Pikachu. There were like around that many games.
Dang, now that's dedication.
It helps. It honestly helps.
Yeah.
Because it goes, again, it goes from just a theoretical perspective to something that I actually like can understand and appreciate and be able to tell, you know, the rest of you.
So do you ever get the urge of like wanting to have something to put out, or are you the kind of person that has the patience, understanding that you need to take whatever amount of time it takes to put a video out?
I realize that it takes time to make these, and I don't want to like burn myself out doing something like this for hours at a time, because 40 games is, what is that, 400 minutes? What is that in hours? I think that's like 7 hours of gameplay. It's like, sure, technically I could do that in a single day, but I don't think I'd be feeling very great after like hour three of playing that many games. And I'm also balancing a lot of, you know, life stuff as well. So I do make sure to make time for that. So You know, in my spare time, whenever I have time, or when, you know, whenever I'm feeling just a little bit inspired to work, I'll sit down and, you know, do these, do my work.
Nice. So, have you ever thought about, like, the kind of traction these videos get? Do you see yourself potentially looking to find others who have similar skills where all the workload isn't on you, you're not wearing all the hats, and you could have a team around you that helps you get these videos out?
If it ever came down to it, I mean, if it came down to, like, needing to pay someone or something like that, then, I mean, I'd need that sort of funding from somewhere to begin with. I mean, for the time being, it's a bit of a one-man show.
Right.
I do think that in time, I would like to get some, I'd like to be able to incorporate, like, other player-submitted clips into my video.
Mm-hmm.
And something else I'd like to do is to incorporate other members of the Unite community to sort of, co-host my video. So, as an example, I don't really have one in mind. Do you happen to know who, Draku is?
Yes.
Okay, so...
Oh, yeah. Another good decision wide player. Someone who will actually use basic attacks. Good lord. Yes.
So it would be, as an example, using Draku to sort of co-narrate the spotlight. So, for example, I could be talking about the abilities and stuff, and when it comes to the tips and tricks, it can be his voice and something like that.
Got you. Okay.
Or if there's another streamer who's, like, well known for using a certain Pokemon, I can pick up, you know, I could pick them up and be like, hey, do you want to do a collab?
Right.
And, you know, that way, you know, I get some traction, they get some traction, you know, the Unite community as a whole gets to benefit from, you know, more spotlights. It's a win-win, you know?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, in order to, like, help move the process a bit faster, linking up with someone who is already a master in the said character.
Yeah, and that way I can sort of bounce my script off of them. It's like, hey, am I missing something? Is there something else that I should add? Or, you know, is this actually wrong? Is my understanding incorrect and you need to correct it? Or stuff like that. In fact, actually, I just remembered, the script for the Azumarill video was actually bounced off of the Pichu Kid. Do you know who that is?
Pichu Kid? Oh, most definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So he's ranked, I think... he said, like, number 17 in the world for Azumarills.
Yeah, shout out Pichu Kid. Okay.
Yeah, so I've gotten help from him. You know, I ran the script by him. It's like, hey, how's this look? You know, am I missing something? You know, am I overstating something, understating something? Stuff like that.
Yo, I like that. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I get, you know, players that have, you know, dedicated the game to, you know, certain Pokemon. I can get their input into it. And it makes it more true, I guess.
No, I like your approach as a networker, because I kind of liken myself on that, like trying to meet people and bring them on the show based on me enjoying their content or somebody who recommended them. And then when I get to see their content, how good they are, how great of a player they are, how knowledgeable they are. You're smart for using the structure around your project of tapping into the idea of networking with someone who's already a master in the said field. It's just kind of like in real life. I used to be in a BNI, Business Networking International, and everybody at the meetings, bi-weekly meetings, held a seat. So one seat is going to be somebody who's a banker. Another seat is going to be somebody who's an accountant. Somebody in a different seat is going to be a plumber. You know what I'm saying? A lot of different fields that all meet up. Not because they're like an employee of a said company, but they can be that, and or they can also be the owner of a company, and they're learning how to grow their business at these meetings.
Right, right.
So it's just smart to hear how you approach this, where you want to, let's say you have the idea of doing, like you said, a Decidueye character spotlight. You would tap into someone like Draku, somebody who's knowledgeable, where I'm just spitting here, paraphrasing, you can fill in. They already have so much knowledge. It kind of, like I mentioned earlier, it takes off one or maybe two of the hats you have to wear as somebody who does a project solo. Because if there's something me and you can relate on doing project solo, it's definitely that. So I know exactly what you mean about the workload and how many different hats you got to wear and how much time it can take, and you got to balance it all out. So that's mm-hmm. that's why I picked your brain that way, because I just wanted to see how you approach it, because of how high quality these videos are. Mm-hmm. I was just curious if it's something that you like pressure yourself to get out, or if you just take the time to do it. But yeah, you answered it beautifully. It sounds like you take the right way. You approach it the correct way. Keep your sanity.
Definitely. And it's something I actually enjoy doing a lot as well. Like, granted, the video editing can get a little bit tedious sometimes, and the program that I use tends to crash often, unfortunately. But, you know, that aside, I do sort of enjoy the process of, you know, coming up with a script and then, you know, going in game to try to grab some clips, you know, furthering my understanding of a Pokemon, the whole, like, iterative process. And then, of course, once it's finally out, getting to see how everyone reacts to it and, like, how much they enjoy it, or be like, oh, hey, I didn't know this, or it's like, oh, I never considered that, or it's like, this makes me want to play. That's the best.
I can agree with that. Do you mind if I ask a question that's not on our show notes?
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Because like the question that is coming up about the future of the videos kind of makes me think of this, but I don't want to ask it after because I feel like this leads into that.
Sure, sure.
So like, I'm thinking of this TV show called Shark Tank, and like, okay, you know, there's a lot of different. Have you seen that show? Have you seen it?
I may have a long time ago. I'm sort of aware of the premise.
Yeah, you get the idea. Yeah, there's a bunch of business people. They got money. They can invest in your company if it's good. Yeah.
Right, right.
So, like, there's always people on that show who have an idea, but, like, they don't have, like, the funds. Mm-hmm. But they're trying to step into this big, giant field, like, clothing. But then sometimes there's people who have, like, stepped into, like, inventing something that's, like, pretty cool that's not even out there.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like that's where you are with character spotlight videos.
So, oh, really?
No, seriously, because like, the game's been out for 2 years. Mm-hmm. So my thinking is, how would you feel if there were other people out there who learn about you as you collab with more and more people, and they start to emulate and how can we word this? Market research your idea and start putting their own videos out.
Did you mean for Unite specifically?
Yeah, for Unite. Do you find that, is that useful? Do you find that as like kind of stepping into your territory? How do you see that? If people which make their own?
Well, okay. So my intention is to put out these videos so that people have a better understanding of how, you know, certain Pokemon is played. And it's the purpose to educate, right? So right. if I found that someone else was doing something very similar, I don't think I would hate on that. It'd be like, oh, hey, cool. They're, you know, sort of helping me put more of these out.
Got
of course,
you.
Now the difference here is that if their quality is somewhat questionable, then I might be like, man, they can do whatever they want. I'll still put out my video on this.
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, if you know, what the other person puts out is only just a little bit better than what Pokemon Unite puts out, then it's like, no, I think I'll still go with mine.
Right.
But if they're, you know, if they're doing a sufficiently good job, and you know, it's very high quality, there's a lot of information that's very useful, then, you know, they've sort of done my job for me. And it would be sort of redundant, I guess, to have like two of those videos out at the same time. I guess, gotcha. You know, each creator has their sort of like own flavor. So
yeah.
There is that. But in terms of sort of what needs to be out there, you know, there's what, how many, like 40 now Pokemon out?
Oh, there's like 59, I think, maybe 16.
Is it 59? Dear Lord. Okay.
Yeah, there's a, yeah, it's like, it's getting close to 60. I think it might be, yeah,
yeah,
60.
So there's, you know, 50, 60, you know, Pokemon out there. And the time it takes to finish one of my videos is about, I think, like 2 months at a minimum.
Yeah.
They're releasing Pokemon faster than I can make these videos, you know?
Right.
So, if someone else wants to sort of help with that and, you know, do a great job at it, then I'm not going to hate on that, you know?
Totally understand. Yeah, so looking at how good your videos are and how much skill you have, and you'd mentioned about the time it takes and, you know, weaving it into your daily life. Mm-hmm. Do you offer any type of coaching or teaching, maybe something through Fiverr for commissions on like how to edit videos, anything of that nature?
I do not. I've sort of toyed with the idea of maybe I can be like a Unite coach or something like that, but it's only just like, you know, just a thought in my head. It's not something I seriously considered.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious because I see that it's not just Unite skills you have with video editing and creation. So I was just curious if you were on Fiverr or any kind of platform offering those services, because it looks like you definitely have that skill.
I would argue that my sort of editing skills is sort of, I want to say they're sort of basic. Like, I don't feel like I do anything particularly special. Most of it is like sort of crossfade or like making graphics and just overlaying it on top of each other. There's usually not anything too special going on, in my opinion. So I don't know that I don't know that I have enough expertise to sort of teach others about video editing specifically.
You know, I can see where you're coming from. For you, I believe it's easily understood and you comprehend it very well, where you may not see it where like someone who doesn't understand it. I get what you're saying, how it comes off to you. I was just curious because I know there are, you know, services out there for literally everything. Heck, I used to be a teacher for digital literacy. Something in digital literacy, it can be something as simple as how to turn on a computer, and then something as complex as how to type a resume, submit it, and land the job interview. It was for adults who came from different countries where English was their second to third language during COVID.
Okay, I see.
So yeah, I was just thinking of not the Unite aspect, just the basic skill of how to edit video XYZ ways. You know what I'm saying? Like that kind of service. Because where it's basic to you, I really see it as a skill where I'm not saying you have to do this, but I was just thinking of like, oh, does he offer the service where he can make money off of it and have some kind of profit? Because like that's a thing out there where people teach people how to do things the most simple and basic way. But hey, you know, keep that in your back pocket. You can have that skill, man.
It's an idea. Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, when it comes to these videos, what is the future of character spotlight videos of Pokemon Unite?
I did touch on it briefly. I think I do want to incorporate other sort of personalities into my spotlights, and by that I mean like being able to work together with other content creators or people who are sort of well known in the community. As an example, why not, you know, bring Spraggles on to voice a part of like a Dodrio spotlight, you know?
Since that'd be money. Yeah
because I know he likes Dodrio a lot, so you know, as an example, you know, that's something that I could do. In terms of I think the format more or less of my videos, I've gotten sort of down pat now, but it's more like, you know, how can I make this sort of more interesting, more exciting? And I think the answer to that is to bring people or other people rather in to sort of like co-host or rather co-narrate, you know, my spotlight videos.
Right. I think that's a great idea. I see a bright future. If that's the path you're going for, I think that's the next step in your evolution for these videos. No pun intended. I just realized what I said as I said it.
No.
Because I remember doing this show, and the first few guests I tapped into was like people that I had been in their Discord or streams daily. Mm-hmm. And then once I started to like branch out a little bit more, actually, you know what? Shout out to Zoinks real quick. Hold on, timeout. It was not until Zoinks sent me a DM and he was like, hey man, like what you're doing. When can I be on the show? And I'm like, holy crap. I'm like, wait, I watch your podcast. You want to be on mine? And it wasn't until then where I was like, you know what? Maybe I can do this. And then I started reaching out to more different people. And then that was, for me, my evolution with this show, reaching out and networking with other streamers.
Hell yeah.
And it just became easier and easier. And then I'm finding out, like when I got Attica on the show as a guest for episode 9, where she was saying she was a fan, she was excited, and she was nervous. And I was like, wait, that's reserved for me. I'm supposed to be the fan. I'm supposed to be nervous and excited. So you'll be surprised, man. Like, the quality of these four videos right here, like, you take that link that's in the playlist for these four, and you just draft up a DM, and then you just target the X number of people you want to message about this, and just take a shot. And I fully believe if you send out 6 messages, you might get 4 yeses back, if not all 6, because these are great videos. I'm telling you, man, like, I sent out some today. Should I? Do you know James T. Kirk? It's affiliated with Unite Battle Hub.
The name does not ring a bell.
Yeah, so Battle Hub is a fantastic source for competitive Unite.
Oh yeah, Battle Hub I know, but the name is not.
Yeah, oh yeah,
the
so
name I don't know.
Got you. Yeah, so he was one of the people that I messaged earlier. He's an esports caster and host. Mm.
Okay.
For Unite Esports, Apex, Fall Guys, a lot of different things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he's affiliated with Unite Battle Hub. And I remember seeing the tweet the other day from Rin, where Rin was talking about how, like, now that the season's over, there's no competition out there, there's not much to do, it's just kind of bored.
Yeah.
And then Just Relic was saying, hey, don't worry, give it a month. We'll have Unite Battle Hub back up, etc., etc. So I was like already thinking of brainstorming something else, and when I saw that, I was like, you know what, time to start taking some shots. Let's not shots of liquor, like shots to like get people on the show.
Right. Yeah. I got you.
So I was like, let's send him a message, let's send some other folks a message. Shout out to B Quinny will be coming on the show. He just did Twitch Rivals, got third place. Yeah. So we got a good number of people coming to the show. So I'm in long words long, networking is good, keep networking, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, well, man,
I appreciate the vote of confidence though.
Oh, definitely, man. I'm telling you, like, I was saying it because I was kind of like, damn, I wish I could learn how to do this, where it's something really basic to you, that skill could help so many people out. Like, I'm thinking of stuff that's basic to me and some other folks didn't know, and I was like, really, like, that's easy. But we're all genius in different ways, you know?
Yeah, true that.
Totally get it. But yeah, once again, man, thank you very much for coming on episode number 30 of Surrender 5.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been great. It was a lot of fun.
For the folks at home listening and watching, can you let them know where they can find you and your content online?
Yes, sir. So it's Glide Borealis on YouTube as well as Twitter. I also have an account on Reddit as well that I'll post sort of like snippets of the work in progress stuff. So you get to see the little in-betweens as like a little sneak peek.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm on Twitter. I'm on YouTube, obviously. A little bit on Reddit. And that's the show.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Glide. I will make sure to grab all those links from you in Discord so we can have them in the YouTube description for everybody to enjoy in their own time to peruse some of that Glide content. You guys can find me on Twitter and in Pokemon Unite. Got my name back at Mike Lowry. They can't ban me anymore. I'm so tired of that. Oh my God, that's so annoying. Stop banning me. It's just a name. It's literally just a name. It's going to be okay. Shout out to Pokemon Attica in the hyperbaric time chamber. You know what I'm saying? Getting her energy up. She's going to come back full force. I'm really excited. She's been having big changes over there. Shout out to Attica. Make sure you guys drop her a follow. Recently hit Twitch partner. Congratulations on that. That's freaking awesome. Man, she was going crazy when I found that out. That's so cool for her. You know what I'm saying? Hey, hard work pays off. For anybody listening, man. Hey, we took 4 months off. We were in hiatus. We're back now. Look at that. Should have made Twitch partner. So for anybody out there, got dreams, man, just follow them. You guys can do it. Make sure you guys subscribe to the show on YouTube. Download us on Spotify, and Apple Podcasts or any podcast that you listen to. And remember, we got a beautiful new song to play as we outro. And when you see us online, Surrender at 5, baby.